Flight Wisdom Guru, there's a certain word that really excites me, and I was wondering if I could get you to just say it to me.
And what is that word, Dr. Lin?
Passport.
And why would you want me to say that word?
I just really get excited when people say the word passport.
So what you're saying is that you wish me to get you excited?
Yes.
About what?
Well, in order for me to really be entertaining on the air, I need to be excited.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that if I say this word that excites you, then you'll be excited and you'll make a wonderful podcast for it?
I'm saying that. I just wanted to verify that you can say the word passport.
So if I say passport, then you'll be happy?
If you can verify that you can say it.
If I can verify that I can say passport? Do you know how silly that sounds?
I just enjoy hearing your voice when it says that.
So you get some sort of thrill about this?
About your voice?
Yes.
Your voice?
My voice.
Yes, your voice.
Okay. So if I want this to be a successful podcast, and I want you to help me, then I have to say what it is you want me to say.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this anymore. I got to go off. I got some sound editing to do. All right, take care. All right. I think I got it now. Let's see if this works.
My voice is my passport. Verify me.
Voice print accepted. Unlocking Flight Wisdom Podcast Studio.
Fly, dear.
Where, kid?
To the sky, dear.
Oh, you flying machine.
Jump in, Miss Josephine.
Welcome to the Flight Wisdom Podcast, Episode 0. That music you were just enjoying was Come Josephine and My Flying Machine, recorded November of 1910 by Ada Jones and Billy Murray. The music was written by Fred Fisher, and the lyrics by Alfred Bryan. This is not NPR Radio. I am the Flight Wisdom Guru, and I am here to see if there is a market for a Flight Wisdom podcast. So if you find this potentially interesting, or if you think we can do better, which I'm sure we could, write us, and possibly we'll put you on the show. We hope to have a Skype link with some lovely guests in future episodes. We also may have some guest hosts as soon as we secure another microphone. The previous segment was recorded with us sharing the microphone, which doesn't always work so well. Today we're going to be talking about luggage fees. Earlier this week, American Airlines and US Airways decided that they would be charging for the second bag on all transatlantic service. We have to ask, what do you feel that you're entitled to when you check in for a flight? Now, we've always maintained that that entitlement is limited to one bag, approximately 50 pounds per person. But on domestic routes, you have to pay for the privilege of checking any bag. Does that make sense? Now, most people do not factor these fees into their calculation of purchase, so when you look online and start comparing it, you will see your Southwest fare, which includes the first and second bag free, JetBlue, which includes the first bag, and you will compare that to the United rate, or the US Airways rate, where that first bag will now cost $20, as US Airways announced last week. So what do you do? And let's say that you weren't properly briefed on this, or the website that you purchased it through didn't explain it. You get to the airport, and they tell you you can't travel unless you shell out another $100 in luggage fees. I don't like it. But this appears to be the world that we live in. Do passengers like it? In general, no. But it produces revenue that the airlines need. Charging for a first bag is too big a revenue source for those airlines, and it's probably not going to go away as much as we'd like it to. The DOT claims that they have taken steps to ensure that consumers are not misled by airlines and the charges they assess for baggage. However, people tell me all the time that they are getting charged and they are getting caught blindsided. Now, you can buy a cheap luggage scale. We have one right here, got it for $5. And every time we go on a trip and we think our bag might be over, we weigh it. But if you compare that to the one at the airport, it will not always be the same. So how can you avoid these fees? Well, Kimpton Hotels is picking up the tab for airline charges that may apply when you check a second, although not a first bag. If you show proof of an airline baggage charge when you check in at any Kimpton Hotel, they'll issue you a room credit for one bag up to $25, offsetting the cost. Some restrictions may apply. Now, until recently, we hadn't heard of a Kimpton Hotel, but we were recently fortunate enough to enjoy a trip to Chicago on Southwest's dime, and they put us up at one. So now we get their emails. The simplest way that you can save money on luggage is to get creative. Look at what you're packing in your suitcase. Do you really need it? Combine several bags into one. Remember, you get up to 50 pounds on a traditional piece of luggage, and up to a standard 62 linear inches, length plus width plus height. Can you combine two small bags into one slightly larger bag and still remain under that? The alternative, of course, is luggage forwarding. Now, if you forward your luggage, you will almost certainly pay more than the airline wants for it, which is why people are putting up with these fees. And people will continue to put up with them until such as a time as the airline realizes that they cannot charge any more fees, or they're going to suffer a loss of overall revenue. As Continental recently put it, they feel that a fee should be included in the price of the fare if over 20% of the people would be forced to pay it, which seems like a very reasonable way to think about it, but not every airline does. For example, Spirit spent a lot of time trying to figure out a way to have a convenience fee for the purchase of tickets on their website, and they do. But if you go to the airport, you can avoid that. Very few people are going to show up at the airport and incur the cost of parking in order to save $5 per flight. So that's all revenue in the pocket of Spirit, and those charges don't show up as part of the fare, which is what they don't want. It shows up at the very bottom, after the fare has been calculated. Now, once you have your luggage, you want to think about making sure that it's safe when it's in the hands of the airlines. Airlines are actually handling luggage more efficiently now, because they have less luggage to handle, because they're charging us for it. So fewer misconnected bags and fewer delayed bags lower their costs. So not only do they have the advantage of enjoying the fees, which are now actually making more profit for them than the actual fare, but they have to pay out less in baggage compensation, because if you don't give it to them, they can't lose it. Now, how do you protect your bag if you have given it to them? Now, most people buy similar bags, mostly black, and my bag, your bag, looks like everybody else's bag. So if you want to go with one of those stock colors, you want to mark it in some unique way. Now, the more subtle that you mark your bag, the harder it is for not only you to notice it, but for it to stick out in the crowd. Now, Stephen Frischling, who's the author of the Flying with Fish blog, and hopefully is enjoying this podcast, uses flamingo pink reflective tape on his bag. Now, you may not choose to do that, as your bag will end up looking like a flamingo pink bag, which, if you don't like flamingo pink, would be something of an aesthetic problem. But you can do very many things. You can use a color that is distinctive and fits your unique personality. Make sure you have your name on both the inside and the outside of the bag. Luggage tags that are attached to straps, which are very common, or the paper luggage tags that the airline provide, come off very easily, so consider other options. You may want to glue something to the bag. There are some adhesive plates that we've looked into, and we're going to be continuing to look into that until we find something that works well for us. If you're going to get a traditional luggage tag, make sure that it uses a strong material. Remember, a paper luggage tag that the airline supplies may last a little while on your bag, but it's very easy to tear off, and thus your bag could get lost very easily and have no way to find it. Inside your bag, make sure that you attach securely your identification. You can try putting a business card into every pocket of your bag. If one gets lost, at least there's somewhere on your bag where a little piece of paper with your name and telephone number would be on there. Remember, try to avoid putting your address on your luggage. While it will help it get to your home, if somebody finds it, they know you're not at home. Perhaps they'll take your bag to your house for you, just before they rob it. And of course, lock your bag. Anyone can get through a lock, and it, of course, may ensure that the baggage thief will break your bag rather than leaving it intact, but it takes a longer time, thus preventing your bag from being subject to an open-and-grab situation, where they will sneak open the bag, grab something out of it, and leave. Of course, it may also mean that your whole bag will get stolen, which leads us to the next thing. Buy a good quality bag. Most good quality bags will come with a warranty, and they'll take care of any small repairs, such as zippers, etc., in the event that your bag is broken into by a vicious person. And remember, just because you're on a plane doesn't mean your carry-on is safe. Do you know the man sitting next to you? Is he an honest and trustworthy person? You don't know. Anyway, this has been a very brief podcast on the subject of luggage. If you think that we can do better, write us. See what happens next. This podcast is sponsored by Flight Wisdom, Gadget Wisdom, and Transit Wisdom, as well as all of the other wisdoms out there that we have not yet attempted to start. Please do write us. our email address is available on the website, and we have a lovely contact form. This is, again, Flight Wisdom Podcast, Episode 0. Tell us what we can do to get to Episode 1. Thank you, and good night. Following will be, once again, Come Josephine and My Flying Machine in its entirety. If you do not wish to hear the whole song, you may stop your playback now. This has been the Flight Wisdom Guru, assisted by our audio engineer, and the whole Flight Wisdom crew.
Thank you for flying with us.
Let us fly, dear.
Where, kid?
To the sky, dear.
Oh, you flying machine.
Jump, dear Miss Josephine. Ship ahoy. Oh, joy, what a feeling.
Well, boys.
In the ceiling, ho, high. Hoopla, we fly to the sky so high. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine. Going up, she goes up. She goes. Balance yourself like a bird on a beam in the air. She goes.
Where?
There she goes.
Up, up, up. She goes this high. Oh, my. The pool is on fire.
Come, Josephine, in my flying machine. Going up. Fall on. Goodbye. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine. Going up. She goes. Up she goes. Balance yourself like a bird on a beam in the air. She goes, there she goes. Up, up, a little bit higher. Oh, my, the moon is on fire. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine going up. Hold on, goodbye. One, two, now we're off, dear. Oh, you, pretty soft, dear.
Don't hit the moon.
No, dear. Not yet, but soon you for me.
Oh, dear, you're a fly kid.
Not me. I'm a sky kid. Gee, I'm up in the air about you for fair. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine. Going up she goes, up she goes. Balance yourself like a bird on a beam in the air. She goes. There she goes, up, up, a little bit higher. Oh, my, the moon is on fire. Come, Josephine, in my flying machine going up. Hold on, goodbye.